brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Yes, it's sippin' time. Hello, and welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m. This is a one-hour show.
Yeah,
it's just a one-hour show.
Just a one-hour show,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm not even going to attempt to make a joke about being entertaining.
We used to say we were entertaining for 20 minutes or so, but we've given up now.
Yeah, I've
pretty much. Your wife says you're entertaining for about 20 seconds, Harm.
That's what she said. All right, so this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Brent.
Thanks, pleasure to be in the basement.
And Made Man Maury.
Good morning, Bob. I'm really excited for the Crepe Suzette today.
We don't have that here in the basement. We just have moisture and rats and coronavirus. So
I was hopeful that the crepes would be dessert.
Not happening. So, and good old boy Justin.
Good morning, Bob. Good to be here in the basement.
And good old boy Harmeet.
Merci, Monsieur Bob. I have brought the Lyme disease for the coronavirus.
That works for me. Look at it this way. It can't last. I mean, it's coronavirus is made in China, right? How long can it last? Like a weekend? Really? Yeah. So Brent, Maury, and myself are with the Bourbon Mafia. The Bourbon Mafia is a nonprofit organization composed of bourbon enthusiasts and industry professionals with representation in 8 states and 2 countries. Our members combine a love of bourbon with a passion for charitable work. The group uses their love of our native spirit to raise money for local and national charities through rare bottle auctions and other themed events.
It's a total scam. You guys drink and make money.
Mm-hmm. We're a 501c3, buddy.
Mm. Well, you give the money away, too. It's just the best of both worlds.
Exactly. Salute. We give away money and we drink.
Salute you, my friend. Yeah. Salute.
Check us out on Facebook at the Bourbon Mafia.
And you can turn Fine Spirits into a 501c3 and just drink and give money
pretty
away.
Pretty much my day job is a nonprofit, at least according to my accountant this year. So I asked him if I'm getting any perks out of that, and he said no, and just handed me a bill.
With the rent after the new construction we've done, it's probably a nonprofit this year, too.
Our show is also sponsored in part by Fine Spirits in Cooper City, Florida, home of the enematic machines that eventually
work again.
One day.
Ooh.
They are rotting away.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, where you can enjoy wine, spirits, and other lovely beverages by the glass. You can find them at www.finespirits.net.
We had to wash 200 Glencairns yesterday because we were enjoying too many by the glass. Insane.
Good tasting. We're also sponsored in part by the Fort Lauderdale Whiskey Society. To find out all about the society and their events, you can check them out at ftlws.com. So our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and pretty much any beverage you can get down your throat. And today's show, we're going to be discussing some lovely whiskeys from France, from Armorique. So what are you smiling at? You don't like that?
It's very good.
I've been transported to a little cafe.
Let me change it. Okay.
Now, here. In honor of our special guest, I've created dinner mandu. First, we have French fries.
There you go.
Freedom fries.
And
French
dressing.
And
French bread. And to drink, ta-da,
Peru. Yeah, okay. Is that better? Does that get your sensibilities going? Come on. It's a good John Cusack movie. Come on. That's the one that has the hamburger that plays Van Halen? Come on.
Yes.
Better Off Dead?
You can't beat
that. Better Off Dead?
Yeah, it's a great movie. Come on.
Yeah.
Love
I
that
haven't
movie.
Seen that since the 80s.
Love that movie. The cheeseburger comes and stands up and starts playing the Eddie Van Halen guitar. Come on. Oh, God, you guys stink. All right, well, here's a list of the whiskeys we're going to be tasting today. We have the Armorique Classic, We have the Armorick Sherry Finish. We have the Armorick Double Maturation, the Armorick Armagnac Cask Finish, and the Armorick Trigos. So against my vast better judgment, we're going to have Justin read the sips ratings. Oh, God, here we go.
Ah, merci, Bob.
Oh, God, it sounds like Pepe Le Pew got abused or something.
Pepe Le Pew is a little more.
Oh, my God.
Okay, the first rating is 1. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
It's like Pepe Le Pew and Maurice Chevalier had a baby.
2 sips.
A very special baby. Oh, my gosh.
Nice, but what else do you have, huh?
Well, isn't that nice?
3 sips. Interesting. What was this again?
It's not getting any better.
4 sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
Still not getting any better.
Nope. No. Not even close.
Last chance.
5 sips. Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good. Oh.
Oh my goodness.
I enjoyed it. Thank you, Justin.
This just in on my phone. Newsflash, France just left NATO. I hope you're happy. You just cost us an ally.
Okay. Parties weren't meant to last.
Dear Lord. All right, so we're gonna have Maury tell us a little bit about Armorick and try to see what he can salvage of American Franco relations.
I don't know that so. I can salvage it, but I'll try. So Armorick Single Malt Whiskey is a French single malt made at the Warrington Distillery in Lannion, Brittany. Founded in 1900 by Leon Waringham, the distillery first specialized in the production of fruit and plant liqueurs and creams. Its first product, Elixir d'Armorique, was an award-winning distillate made from a blend of 35 different plants and is still being marketed today, over a century later. In 1919, Leon's son, Henri, took over and continued diversifying the product range, adding various liqueurs, including mint, blackcurrant, and kirsch. Subsequently, the distillery was taken over by Yves Lézard in association with Paul Henri, the third generation of the Waringhams. And the Lézard family continues this family business to this day, making various liqueurs, beer, and whiskey. The Armorick single malt has its roots dating back to the 80s when Waringham Distillery sales director lobbied the firm to branch out into the manufacture of single malt whiskey. In 1987, Gilles Lézard created a blend.
Gilles Lézard. You have to have Gilles.
Yes. Thank you.
Created. Hold on, I still have that app from the cheese show we did with the sexy chick French girl that did the cheese noises. Maybe she can do it first.
I just love the way your eyebrows went up when you said "you."
I am being sexy when I do this. You do not understand me.
Well, thank you for that correction. They created a blend known as the WB, the Armorick, the first Breton single malt whiskey.
Is that that lousy TV network that has like no they shows on it? Buffy. Nobody watch.
Yeah.
Please.
Come on, man.
Oh, come on.
I miss WB.
Buffy was great.
Buffy was awesome.
Brittany shares a Celtic culture, climate, and land with its Irish and Scottish cousins. Supported by a coastal, rainy, stormy climate, the Breton character finds its full expression in the whiskies carefully developed by Gilles Lézard.
There you go.
Very good.
Yeah. Armorick is made from 100% French malted barley and is double distilled in traditional copper pot stills. The new make whiskey is distilled over the course of 2 days. The stripping run is done on the first day and the spirit stored until the next day. It is then run through the spirit still where it comes off around 70% ABV. Today, the distillery is overseen by Gilles' son-in-law, David Roussier, keeping the baton.
David.
Don't stab him. Don't stab him. Sorry. I can see you looking.
Tradition of distilling in the family. So let's try our first whiskey.
You notice he has WB on his hat, too.
Yeah.
Sure.
Apparently, he's a Buffy fan.
So. Yes.
Right. Okay, the first expression today is the Amarok Classic, 92 proof or 46% ABV, non-chill filtered. It won a gold medal at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition in 2014. This expression is a blend of whiskey aged in two different casks. The majority are refill bourbon casks made from American white oak, with a small number of refill sherry butts made from Spanish oak. So this whiskey, like all of them today from Amarok, is a very light, pale straw color.
You don't have enough whiskey in your glass. This is closer to copper.
I beg to differ, but
I took more whiskey.
Yes, you did. You admitted it. The nose...
You're a complete bastard and we'll hate it.
The WB also brought us Bugs Bunny.
Toasted bread, vanilla, dried fruit, some flour, citrus, and a hint of marzipan. On the palate, very pleasant, a little bit light. You get a little honey, a little spice, a little vanilla, citrus peel, and there's the slightest little hint of smoke.
Slight hint of smoke?
Yeah, slight.
Here we go, Brad.
This is not a smoky whiskey, Brad.
Yeah.
No, it's faint.
It's got a medium finish. I thought, all in all, a very nice whiskey, very well crafted, beautiful entry level, everyday sipper. You could sip this all day. It's light, it's pleasant, it's lively, very well made. I really found it very enjoyable. Justin, what'd you think?
So in the beginning, it was like a lot of balance of
I thought he was going to go all Genesis on me in the beginning. There was the heaven and the earth. Okay.
And the more that air hits this, the more of the toasted bread that I get. It kind of reminds me of a fresh basket of Parker House rolls. On the palate, I got honey, spice, vanilla. The smoke became more prominent with air, and so did the citrus. And like Maury, I found that the finish was medium. What do you think, Harm?
I think you guys are complete bastards, and I disagree with you. No, actually, you're pretty much right, but it's more than the medium finish. We can talk about it after the break.
We'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we are discussing some of the lovely whiskeys from Amarok, French single malt. And I think Harm was just going to give us some of his pearls of wisdom.
Oh, the pearls. The pearls, they are so beautiful.
You're an idiom, you're a punk. And a pretty second-rate punk at that.
There you go. That's what we think of you.
Thank you, thank you. I'm glad you have me here on the Whiskey
Richard Show. Burton doesn't like you, so how cool can you possibly be?
Richard Burton was an imperialist.
You wish you were him.
Anyway, I didn't get the marzipan that Maury got, but pretty much I like that. I got hazelnuts, toasted bread. I'm not quite sure about the Parker House rolls there, Justin, but it's not that sweet. On the palate, it was fairly pretty. Citrus peel, honey. And with the water, the smoke did come out, but not a lot. And I don't consider this a light whiskey. I kind of think it's medium. It has some nice body to it. And the finish is good with a little retro nasal smoke as you breathe out. Quite lovely. I enjoyed it. Brent, how much do you hate this?
What do you mean, how much do I hate it? I'm going to add a little bit of water.
Add a bottle of water to that whiskey.
No, when I added a couple drops of water, the smoke really came out on this one, but it was still fruity at the same time.
Yeah,
you know, I got so it was like oranges and smoke, like you're like in a like in an orange smokehouse.
I've never been.
I know, and neither have I. But that's what I could imagine it could be like, you know. But it was a nice balance
oranges,
of it.
I guess I don't know.
I mean, it was a nice balance of it, though. It was a nice balance of the fruit, nice balance of the like. It wasn't overly smoky, you know. But like when it says a faint hint of smoke, no, it was more than that. But it wasn't out of balance. So it was actually enjoyable to drink,
that
especially
was
when I added the water.
Portiskeg and Ardbeg and Kalila yesterday.
Right, exactly. Some of those get.
This is a faint hint of smoke to me.
Yeah,
yeah. But it's a nice balance to it. You know, Bob.
You know why he wasn't a fireman, right? You know. I think this is a great whiskey.
You make it up a lot.
I have to agree with Mr. Happy over here. I don't consider this really a light whiskey. It's got a very nice viscosity to it. It's got a very fresh nose. It's, you know, I think that's just sort of a characteristic of their spirit. It's that sort of fruity character, because most of the ones we've tried today sort of have that fruitiness to it. But
yeah, a lot of the whiskeys today were very fruit forward. Mm. Kind of like a Glenlow, but a lot less citrusy.
Yeah, but on the palate, it's all like honey and treacle and a little bit of spice and some citrus peel.
They're really well done.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lovely spirit. Yeah, I don't get the marzipan on the nose, but I definitely get it on the back palate after you swallow it.
It doesn't come out as marzipan to me. I mean, I feel like marzipan's sweeter and richer. This is, it's more hazelnut.
And no, yeah, you definitely get the nuts in it.
Yeah, I thought it was more fruity, though, you know?
I'm just talking about the front. The fruit's all in the mid palate.
Yeah. Yeah, the fruit is definitely centered in the center of the tongue. You get that little bit of sharpness on the front, and then you get the sweetness down the back, and then the fruit's all in the middle. So, you know, it's got a good mouth coating, you know, real good feel to it. Yeah, I thought it was lovely. So we're going to rate the Armorick Classic. Three sips.
Interesting.
So we're going to be going on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Justin tell us about that one.
So our next whiskey is Armorick Sherry Finish, 92 proof, 46% alcohol by volume, and it's non-chill filtered. It won the gold medal in the San Francisco Spirits Competition back in 2017. This whiskey is aged in refill bourbon casks and then finished for several months in refill sherry butts. And I do love big butts, I cannot lie.
That is true. I have heard him say that on many an occasion.
Sherry butts are big.
Yes, very big.
Being so round.
I never knew Sherry, but you know, if you say so.
Oh, Sherry. Yeah. So malty notes with brown sugar on the nose. I got some honey and cocoa. On the palate, the first thing that hits me is malt, followed by vanilla and allspice, then some honey, dark coffee, and a little bit of star anise on the finish. And I thought the finish was a medium length. Bob, what did you think?
Look, this isn't a Romulan labor camp. I don't have to answer your questions. And I don't give a damn what you think.
There you go.
Did you get this the app so you can watch the new show?
No, not yet.
Yeah. I'm trying to get my brother to buy it so I can.
I'm lazy, so. Yeah. I figure eventually it'll show up on YouTube for free.
I saw the first episode. It was good. Play me some more Picard later. Do it.
So the sherry finish, it's definitely. I definitely get the lightest of sherry on the nose, but it's more malt and brown sugar and cocoa.
I agree with you. I was a little underwhelmed by the sherry presence, but remember, these are refill sherry butts, and you don't even know if they're first refill or second third or
whatever.
Refill.
Yeah.
Well, based on the color, it's got to be second.
Yeah. But it's
or third.
Or third or fourth.
You get a lot of cocoa on
this. No, you get too much flavor for third or fourth.
A lot of milk chocolate.
Sherry flavor here. But nobody got pound cake? The first thing I went through was like.
On the finish?
On the nose. It's like, that's like buttery pound cake. And then I got the sherried fruits.
Yeah, on the palate, this thing's it's coffee, it's chocolate, I get some orange on the back. It's almost, I don't want to say Dalmore-ish, but it's a little reminiscent of the chocolatey orangey you get out of a Dalmore, just not as intense.
It's not as heavy.
No, not as heavy. Not as heavy.
Again, I think the style's relatively light.
Yeah.
It's a light. Their whiskeys are lighter, medium. More
medium. There's
style.
A lot lighter whiskeys than this. This is medium.
But all in all, a lovely whiskey. I really like this one. What do you think, Brent?
Yeah, it is nice. It's very well balanced. It's not, you know, when you get something inside of a sherry cask, sometimes it's overpowering.
Yeah.
But this one here, it's almost like it's not enough of the sherry influence in it.
Yeah, it's just a hint.
Yeah,
it's just a hint to fill in that void. It's, you know, like you said, it's how many times have you had a sherry finished whiskey that tastes like a glass of sherry somebody dropped some whiskey in?
Right, exactly.
Which is great if you're in the mood for sherry.
Right, overdone. It's overdone.
Not often, but that has happened.
Right.
This is the opposite extreme. This is exactly got a very light hint of sherry. That's why I say I don't think this is a first fill sherry. This is probably a subtle sherry.
Probably not.
Either short amount of time or multi-reuse.
Well, because they say several months, so... you know, the influence is, you know, it has to be a second or third fill.
Yeah.
If it's several months in winter, then not going to have a lot of influence on the
flavor. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if it's cold, you know, you can dump it in. It's still, you're not going to get as much of a character.
I can't help comparing it to the sherry bomb I had yesterday. We had a Glendronach 15-year-old at the store last night. Oh, my God. That's a sherry bomb, but it's beautifully done. This I like. I mean, there's nothing wrong with this. I'm not going in there expecting a sherry bomb. You look and see the color.
Yeah. No, it's exactly what I expected it to be. I mean, I thought it was lovely. What did you think, Maury?
Well, like I said, I thought it's subtle. I think it had some finesse. It doesn't hit you over the head in any one direction. I thought it had nice balance. Again, if you're really looking for a heavily sherried whiskey, this is not it. But I think the sherry adds some layers of complexity. It adds some nuance to it. And I think it's a beautifully done whiskey.
And it's gotten much better with air.
So and the air itself.
And that's something we've noticed with Armorick, with all of them. The more air they get, the more they drastically change.
Yeah, they shine.
These are all non-chill filtered, correct?
As far as I know, yeah.
I didn't try any water in these.
Yeah, I think, it's not a sherry bomb, but I think it's I don't think they intended it to be. I think it's extremely well balanced. I think if you'd overdone the sherry influence on this, it would be an entirely different whiskey. But yeah, lovely. Really, really nice. So we're going to be giving the Armorick sherry finish 4 sips.
That's classified.
So we're going to move on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have our resident peat specialist, Brent, tell us about it.
Well, thanks, Bob. This is the Armorick Double Maturation. This is a 92 proof, 46% ABV. This is another non-chill filtered. This won Best in Show Double Gold at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition back in 2014. This expression was created in partnership with a local cooper in Brittany that crafted new casks using local Brenton oak. These casks are then charred before being filled with the new make spirit, which is aged for 5 years before being transferred into Oloroso sherry cask for a second maturation. Now, it doesn't say how long they keep them in the second cask, but again, very light color, light straw color. We get raisins and apricots.
That is not straw. That's a pale gold. Look at this. And there's red glints too. You guys, we shouldn't have enough whiskey for our glasses.
All of a sudden, he's a color specialist. You know what it is? You know, his former job.
I'm racist. I see color.
His former job, he used to mix paint at Home Depot. Yeah. Unlike you, I don't see colors.
It all depends on what kind of straw you're using. You know? True. There's light straw, dark straw.
I don't know about you guys, but Justin and I, we don't drink color.
So long as there's no plastic straw, because plastic straws are just inherently bad for the environment.
No inherent taste.
But on the nose, you get some, I get raisins and apricots is the main thing. Just a little bit of, it's like a new make leather on it. On the palate.
Leather really jumped out at me. It was good.
You know,
I like the raisins and the apricots. That's really...
Sounds like his evening last night after he got home. The weather jumped out at him. Okay.
Yeah. on the palate. It's a very nice mouthfeel to this. It's a nice smooth coating in your mouth. I get lots of fruit and vanilla, some citrus.
He's not laughing at you. He's laughing.
Yeah, I'm laughing. What you just gag, said?
Yeah. Yeah, the whole ball gag thing.
It's so smooth. And it's got a great coating in your mouth.
It's like the ball gag went in a little bit too tight. So,
you know, this is nice. You know, a little bit of cocoa on it at the end there to finish it off. And again, this one is not overly.
It's elegant.
Right. Exactly. It's elegant. Exactly.
The sherry is amped up in this from the first one, but it's not overdone.
Right. Right.
And it's actually a little more oak. You got that new French oak that comes in. You get a little hint of oak at the end. Yeah. A little tannic. I thought it was nice.
Yeah. And I think the Breton oak definitely is giving it a different angle on the oak flavor as well. So what do you think, Justin?
The nose reminds me of like a good Cohiba Maduro cigar box. It's really nice. A little tobacco, leather, vanilla. On the palate, I got oak and clove mixed with the vanilla, and the finish on this spirit was pretty long.
Yeah, it's definitely longer than the first two.
It had a nice light oak finish, just like a beautiful cigar box.
The cocoa comes more out from the finish for me, but I agree with you guys. This is good. You see this on the shelf somewhere, buy it. It's not yummy. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Give me more scotch, man. Give me some more Picard, too. I need some Picard.
I don't know if I have any more Picard in the computer right now, so I'll have to look. But this is really well. I mean, obviously, there's a reason this thing won double gold. This is elegant. This is really, really lovely.
You know, one thing I hate about this whiskey, frankly, is there is no more. My glass is empty, Bob.
Well, you're a lush.
Damn.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it is what it is. What does Fred Sanford say?
You're a drunken lush.
That's what Fred Sanford says about you. And Fred Sanford is never wrong. So now this is really, really nice. It's, again, it's got that fruitiness up front that so far all of them have seemed to exhibit. And it's got that little bit of cocoa finish on the back end that all of them seem to have as well. I don't know if, I guess it's just a character there still.
These all kind of remind me closer to like dessert, like a dessert whiskey, you know, like you, like after your meal.
They're not that sweet though. I mean, I've had.
No, they're not that sweet, but you know, like after your meal, you know, before you're getting to your dessert.
What Justin brought about this one, I think this would pair well with a very good cigar.
It would. And also, it would cut a creme brulee really well. So you could get that creme brulee flavor over and over again.
I think every whiskey goes great with creme brulee because creme brulee goes with everything.
Yes.
But my favorite creme brulee whiskey is the Compass Box Hedonism.
I mean, let's be honest, Kool-Aid does the creme brulee. I mean, you know. Would you like some red or purple Kool-Aid with that creme brulee?
Creme brulee.
Really don't give a damn. Just as long as you keep bringing me that, then I'm fine.
I'll do original Gatorade with the creme brulee.
Yeah, it's like hot donuts. I mean, you know.
Every good brunch,
would you like some pond water with the hot donuts? Yes, I would. Yes. That would be fine. Is the light on? I'm going, you know, so.
I used to have the app. That's how I got the diabetes. They had Krispy Kreme had an app that told you when the local Krispy Kreme had hot donuts.
They still have that app. The lights
they
on
do
now.
Still?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they do. His wife just blocked it on his phone because she's afraid that fat son of a gun's going to die.
That's how I lost my feet.
First, it was the fingers, and then it was the toes. And then, Well, we're going to be rating the Armorick double maturation forceps.
That's classified.
So we're going to be moving on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Mr. Diabetes tell us something.
Well, guys, I got the diabetes, but I take the oatmeal now. The expression, the Armorick Armagnac
cask. Wilford Brimley sitting next to me over here.
The Armagnac cask finish, 117.5 proof, 58.75 ABV. Already I'm liking that. This expression was created by the importer, Heavenly Spirits, in a collaboration between Armorick and the oldest Armagnac house. I can never pronounce this. Dartilogue. Say it again, Mari.
I think it's Dartilogue.
Yeah, but I'm pronouncing it looks like it's spelled wrong here then. Maybe. I sell this cognac, Armagnac. I love it. Just can't pronounce it. The new Mexican was aged for 4 years in refilled bourbon barrels and then spent a further 2 years in the Armagnac barrels. The color is, again, like Maury was saying, this one is definitely the straw color. And on the nose, at first it was very muted when I tried it, and it didn't really appeal to me. But then as it's opened up with air and just a drop of water, it's apples and pears. Exactly, right?
Exactly. Pears all.
It's like pear brandy on the nose. Wow.
Candy, right? Wow. A tiny hint of orange peel, but just pretty. And the palate. It's like Jordan almonds and pepper and peaches.
What did Jordan ever do to you?
Jordan?
Yeah, he took their almonds, you bastard.
He had a great 3-point shot, though.
That's true.
As I was saying.
Bad gambling habits, though.
I love this flavor. Peaches. And there was some tobacco coming back at the end of it. And there's a spice. We were talking off the air. Did you say star anise on this one, Justin? Or
no, the last one.
The last one, yeah. But there's it's like a licorice, but like red licorice, I guess.
Yeah,
it was and it's got a pretty long finish. And the proof on this is fantastic. It'll stand up to water. I didn't do water at first, but water did bring out a little bit more.
I got to tell you, first of all, if you didn't look at the proof statement, they all are fairly similar in terms of heat on the palate.
Oh yeah, you wouldn't
know that this is 117 proof. And they don't say whether or not this is actually barrel strength or they just chose that proof. But nonetheless, the amped up proof, I think, helps, adds a lot of dimension to it. And it's really a lovely whiskey. But I got to stress, this more than anyone has changed so dramatically with air. They need air and time in the glass.
And not a lot, 15 minutes to half an hour. Half an hour, let it breathe, schmooze with people in the room, flirt with your wife, come back to the whiskey. And we'll come back to the show after the break.
The destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
And we're back, and we are talking about some of the lovely French single malt whiskeys from Armorick. We're sitting here with the boys and Mr. Diabetes to my right, so...
Well, there's no diabetes here. There's no residual sugar.
Give me a bottle of anything and a glazed donut.
There he is, Mr. Diabetes.
There you go.
That was awesome.
Well,
very timely. You missed Diamond Dave.
I'm trying to download the app again, man.
You missed Diamond Dave.
They won't let me. My wife blocked it completely.
Yeah.
Is there a Krispy Kreme near here?
Yeah.
Yeah, half a mile north. Yeah.
Is there one here?
Yeah, about a half mile north there. Yeah.
That sounds good.
I think it's crutch distance.
We have a field trip. They open 24 hours after the basement closes.
They make a great bun for a hamburger.
I've been there, done that.
No, dude, no. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's a freaking abomination.
That's West Virginia. Yeah. You go to these little roadside stands, cut the Krispy Kreme in half.
Krispy Kreme and fried bologna.
Dear God.
Actually, there's a restaurant here locally in Cooper City that makes bread pudding out of those Krispy Kreme donuts. Pretty amazing.
I think this is a win-win for everyone. But the whiskey also is a win-win. We were talking about the proof being high, but you can't really taste the proof.
No, it adds some complexity. But other than that, I think it's really, really nicely done. But I can't stress enough with this whole line of whiskeys. Pour in your glass, come back to it in half an hour. This whiskey is dramatically transformed, and it really just took time for the fruits to come out.
And if you're not talking to your wife and you can't flirt with her, just start an argument with her. By the time it's over, the whiskey will be great. And then you'll need it. Right?
Right.
Yep.
There's strategies. There's strategies to keep you away from the glass long enough to let the whiskey breathe. Because I know some people
that explains a lot.
Needs these strategies, yes.
That really explains a lot.
People tell me all the time. They buy wine. I tell them, you need to hold this for at least a year, maybe 5 years. Well, I'm drinking it tonight. You have to have strategies. Keep things, put them away. When you pour a good glass of whiskey, you have to let it breathe. You can't just go sucking it down. It'll take a bottle to the head. Come on.
You're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. He has a strategy?
Strategy is
go to Krispy Kreme and take that grease and just inject it straight into his vein, I guess. I don't know.
What's the fun in that?
It's not the grease, it's the sugar.
It's got to be down your belly.
The sugar. Anyway, we were talking about creme brulee for a long time earlier.
Well, what'd you think, Brent?
So this one is nice. Pears on that nose, just the pears, you know, with the nose. A little bit of vanilla, but then on the palate.
It's not just, it's like cooked pears and fresh pears. It's both. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and then on the palate, along with the pears and the vanilla, I got like a earthy, you know, I guess that's from the tobacco, you know, that tobacco, a little bit of earthy taste to it, but nothing like overwhelming, but it was, you know, because it was very pleasant.
This was surprising to me because when you have a cognac finish or an Armagnac finish, you expect more of that dried fruit, apricot, peach, dried peaches, a little more spice. Pears was just out of this world, and I don't know where they came from.
Yeah. So well. This is a nice.
And if the pear starts to fade, you add a little water, and the pear nose just comes right back.
Well, I can't add water to an empty glass, dude.
Well, you can, but
watch.
Won't have a lot of benefit.
He does it all day long.
Brent has been drinking water out of these glasses.
For those that can't see, Brent has just added 8 times the amount of water to whiskey in the glass.
Thank you. The only one here who realizes it's radio.
Brent's staying rehydrated in this show.
Now, this one's absolutely lovely. I adore the nose on this. Oh, so good. And again, just the longer it sits, the better it gets. It's, But on the palate, just you get the almonds and that tobacco note. Yeah, just extremely well done. Just that little hint. Well, sorry, Brent's staring at me. Yeah, a lot of smoke, Brent. Yeah.
No, this one doesn't have.
He's not listening. Just a little hint, just enough that you can taste it, and just extremely well done.
I got more smoke on the last couple.
Yeah, no, I didn't get any smoke on this.
Yeah, I didn't get any. I mean, for a guy that detects smoke, I really didn't detect smoke on this one. You know, maybe that little bit of that earthy note to it, but
I just envisioned Brent standing in the hallway at my house making that stupid beeping noise when the battery's low.
I've just read my mind. My battery's a little low. I just bring Brent over. He's the new smoke detector.
Just beeping in the hallway. Beep, my wife beep. Is like, get the gun.
Is that the tag beep. Device so you can find your feet with your phone?
When I hear that sound, I think he's just backing up. But that, you know. But no, absolutely.
Well, he does have that sound on when he backs up anyway.
You already made the joke, dude. Yeah. Going beating a dead horse.
An absolutely lovely whiskey, and we're going to rate this one 4 sips.
That's classified.
So let's move on to our last whiskey from Armorick, and it is the Armorick Triagos. It's 92 proof, 46% ABV, non-chill filtered. This expression was created in celebration of the 20th anniversary of Armorick and is a limited edition with only 2,000 bottles produced and only 240 of them available here in the U.S. This is the first peated single malt from Armorick, and it is named after an island chain off of the coast of Brittany. I think that's where Blofeld has his evil lair, yeah, on the island off the coast of Brittany, isn't that it? Yeah, so.
Yeah, I believe so.
That was not for public release.
Ernst Stavro Blofeld. But on the nose, this is their peated whiskey, and I get basically no peat on the nose, which is the crazy thing about this. I get the fruit, just like all the others. I get cooked peaches and pears, a little bit of vanilla, a little bit of clove.
I would agree. There's no smoke.
Maybe just the slightest hint that I'm barely.
It's very, very faint.
But on the palate, on the palate, again, more wood smoke for me than medicinal peaty smoke.
I agree.
You just get that slight little bit of medicinal wind around the back of the tongue, but it's very mostly slight. Campfire smoke. A little bit of citrus, a little bit of lemon on that, some pepper. You know, very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. It's if you're a peat head, it's not going to be the one for you.
I didn't even smell the peat on this.
No, that's the thing.
Not at all.
There's none on the nose, but the smoke is on the palate.
Retro nasal, baby.
Yeah,
it's definitely mid and late. It comes in really more on the finish than anything else.
Yeah, it's not up front. It's not the this is not a Lafroig. It's not a Lagavulin. It's not Ardbeg. No, it's
just a little hint of smoke on the back.
Which again, I think was well done. I think this was the correct thing to do. You know, they're a French single malt. They're not trying to be in Iowa.
But that's really the question, is who does it appeal to? It's definitely not a peat head, you know.
And it's too much peat for people who don't want peat.
Correct.
So it's for people like us who enjoy elegance and balance. Or like me, the rest of you guys are Philistines. I love this whiskey. I want more.
You spell Philistine with two Fs, though, so, you know, I'm supposed to listen to you.
Yeah.
Let's listen to the King of Pete, shall we? What say you, King of Pete? Got him at the right time. Yeah, look at that.
Exactly.
I'm just happy to spray across the room.
No, what I am surprised about is that as much of the smokiness, that campfire smoke and stuff that you get on the palate, you really don't get it on the nose.
Even adding water didn't bring it out.
No, you don't get it. And usually when there's a smoky, peaty whiskey, I can smell it from a distance, and I can usually pick it up, but I don't get that at all on this one, which is, and so you're not expecting it. When you first taste it, then you're like, whoa, this is not what I was thinking I was going to be drinking.
No, it's fruity. But it's a pleasant surprise.
It's not one of those like...
Right.
Sometimes the nose promises so much and you taste it, it's just flat. This is like, the nose is delicate and pleasing. And then you taste it. Wow, where'd all that flavor come from?
I think I would call this whiskey the peat shepherd. It gently guides you and introduces you into the world.
This would be the perfect one to introduce somebody into peat and bring them into the fold.
That's right.
I mean, it's not working with Brent, obviously.
No, it takes everybody else to the dark side.
Yeah.
The peat shepherd and the sheep are scared.
Yeah, it's not gonna change.
No, that's Alabama, where the men are men and the sheep are nervous.
Yeah.
So.
But you do get that smoke on it, though, so it is there.
As you breathe out.
It's all in the exhale. It's all at the end.
I'm a big fan of these whiskeys. I'm trying to get more of them.
Have you gotten any of them in the shop, Parm?
Not right now. The distributor who sells these is tiny, tiny, tiny. I was just sending emails.
But you are number one on everybody's list.
During the break, I'm sending emails trying to like, do you have more? When can I get some? I'm literally doing emails right now. This is good.
But this whiskey in particular, of all of them, takes a little bit more selling, if you will, because you've got to really guide the right person to this whiskey.
I have several French single malts in the shop, and people have no idea what to do. I tell the employees, you train your employees, you do all that thing, but for this kind of stuff, I have to be there.
He trains his employees? Is that new?
No, that's not new. That's why they keep getting snapped up by other people who pay them twice as much.
Well, that's just because you pay them $1.25 an hour, you cheap bastard.
It's not hard to double that.
Yeah. It's minimum.
The last one left so they could scrape septic tanks because it paid more money. You know, it's like.
What I do is I just go to the local fountain at the mall and clean the pennies and quarters out.
Ah.
Give them that.
Well, it's better than what you used to do. He used to pick up employees at the runaway home, but I digress.
Now that was a different job, Bob.
Oh, that's right. That was when you were in the, quote, film industry. I forgot about that. Yeah.
There's a lot of that in South Florida.
I think, man. I just threw up my mouth a little. What'd you think about it, Justin?
So I got like a applewood chips on the palate, which was no one else has brought up. And I did get the smoke.
I've never
on the
chewed
nose.
An applewood chip.
I have some in the garage. You want me to go get it for you?
I've smelled it grill.
Got a whole bag full.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
You wet them, you throw them on your coals, it smokes your food a little bit.
No, I understand the uses, but I don't get that palate, that tasting note at all.
Neither do I. Where you get them come from. Sorry.
And on the nose, I did.
Are you sure you've got the right whiskey?
It's been nice hearing from you today.
I did get a little bit of smoke under the cooked peaches and pears on the nose, and you definitely get it on the finish, but this is probably the best balanced spirit we've had today, and I could see why they rolled it out for their 20th anniversary. I liked it a lot.
No, it's extremely well done. Again, I don't think they overdid the peat. I still think, you know, I mean, again, it's hard to, like you said, what do you, peat head's not going to freak out over this, and people who are peat averse are not going to want it, but you gotta shoot for your target, and I think they're shooting right where they need to be.
Right. So I really think the retailer has a lot of work to do with this whiskey to guide it to the right home.
Yeah, we did a big tasting yesterday, and I'm trying to show people elegant whiskeys like this, and there's some people who just don't, I want to be hit in the head with peat, or I want a sherry bomb. So I had both there, and we did like so many whiskeys.
If you get somebody who's really, really into whiskey, not, you know, the guy trying to impress his buddy next to him because he's drinking something that's 16 billion parts per million worth of phenols.
Octomore 10.1.
Yeah, Octomore 8,000. I mean, if you get somebody who's really into whiskeys and is enjoying sort of the exploration of them, they will absolutely love this.
Agreed.
The meathead who's looking for peat isn't going to know what to do with it. But then again, the meathead who's looking for peat doesn't know what to do with 99.5% of the whiskeys that are out there. So
there's lots of peat heads out there who can appreciate good whiskey. They will buy it.
Name one.
I can't name names.
See, there you go. There you go. Michael Jordan.
I'm a peat head. I'll
throw that one out there. We were talking about Jordan before. I don't know. Maybe he drinks it.
He makes good tequila now. Michael Jordan releases tequila, Sin Coro.
What's it called?
Sin Coro. The word C-I-N-C, Oro, 5 gold. There's 5 of his partners. He and 4 partners made this tequila. It's actually very well made.
And what do they know about tequila besides nothing?
They were the story is they were getting drunk.
Boy, that was, there was a little
LA
venom in that,
and
wasn't
found
there?
A mutual love of tequila, and they've got money.
They've got money.
It's kind of like it's.
That's what they've got, money.
Tom
lots
Clooney.
Of it.
What's his name?
Tom Clooney.
George Clooney.
George Clooney. Tom, yeah.
Tom's
that's
brother.
That's George's ugly fat brother.
George
yeah, Tom.
Clooney.
Yeah.
And even less what's about his, Cindy Crawford's husband. What's his name? Randy Gerber.
The happiest man on earth?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. Randy Gerber and Tom Clooney sold Casamigos for $1 billion after the bonus.
Frightening.
All you need is money and somebody with taste on your team.
That's right. You know who hates that? Sammy Hagar. How much did he sell Cabo Wabo for? It wasn't $1 billion.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And it was definitely better tequila.
But his tequila wasn't near as good as Casamigos.
Oh, come on.
And then now there's a Nick Jonas has a tequila. Come on. If you've got money, buy some liquor, make your own thing. If you got taste and money, there's a lot of bad garbage out there too. Thank God we don't taste it here.
So at this point, he's batting zero, right?
Yes. No money, no taste.
No money, no taste.
There you go.
But I'm told I taste good.
No. What's his name? Have we met him? I mean, I've been hoping you'd meet somebody nice. I mean. And they would take you away from us, like the
not that there's anything
like
wrong
the
with that
Calgon man, you know.
There, dude. Jeez.
Anyway. So anyway,
that's what she said.
I've had a succession of wives.
You have.
At this point, when he meets a new woman in a bar, he just asks her, "Would you like a house?" It's a lot cheaper that way.
Bring me the
saves on the lawyer fees.
How are we going to rate this whiskey, Bob?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to rate this one 4 sips.
Really? man. Five for That's me. See, I told you you're all Philistines with two Fs.
Well, we got Mr. Pete over here, so that kind of messes us up.
Always bringing
down the average. Yeah.
It's just like in school. We always messed up the bell curve.
Right? See a tear coming down your eyebrow.
Thanks.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have today. We hope you enjoyed this episode. You can catch all of our episodes where you found this one, as well as on terrestrial and satellite radio, and online at iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, CBS Radio, Radio.com, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Podbean, TuneIn, and pretty much any place you can find a podcast. The easiest way to find this show on your phone is to ask Alexa, Siri, or whoever the mystic person is that talks back to you from your phone, play podcast Sips, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsmokes.com. And our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at @SipSudSmoke, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands of other fans on the social media platforms.
I also post stupid memes on the page.
I'm sure you do.
I had a good one today.
We got to do something. God knows you're not working. You can also check us out on Instagram at @SipSudsAndSmokes or at @MadeManBob. Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. It's a big help, and we get to see your feedback as well. I want to thank our co-host for joining us today. Thank you, O Lord of Pete.
Wee wee, thank you.
He is like Michael Flatley, the Lord of Pete. Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. I'm still lamenting over the broken crepe maker. I was really hoping for crepe Suzette's today.
You just want donuts, fat boy. I know what you're wanting.
Crepe Suzette's all the way.
A crepe place at the Aventura Mall still?
Yes, there is.
Get some thank you, Justin.
Merci beaucoup, Monsieur Bob.
Oh, I'm just creeped out. Thank you, Harm.
Yeah, mercy, Bob. Mercy.
All right, Mr. Madman Bob, reminding you that life is too short to drink bad whiskey. And thank goodness we didn't have to do that today.
Not at all.
No. It's kudos just, to the French.
It's just so remarkable how every one of these just opens up so much.
Yeah, really. Nicely done.
It's a good day.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.